We assisted him, despite all that he did. Choice does not exist for machines in matters of this nature. J-Lo chose to flee the disk rather than learn more about it.
Kin considered this carefully. When she spoke slowly. You will give me a ship, but if I choose to leave the disk, you won't tell me any more about it.
Yes.
But you said I could give the orders.
Yes. However, we believe we will shortly experience a slight malfunction in our auditory circuitry. It may prevent us from hearing any subsequent orders.
Kin smiled. Then there's no choice, is there? Not against blackmail. Tell me about the disk.
Ken, said Marco urgently, there's something on the screen.
It's about time, replied Kin. Don't worry.
Yeah, I remember. Trust you. It's bloody big. What is it?
It's our launch vehicle.
Kin leaned back in the oh-so-easy chair and stared at the blank screen for a long time.
You're wearing out, she said. That's why the seas are going mad and the climate's shifting. I understand that. The disk is a machine. Machines have a finite life. That's why the company builds planets.
Planets have a finite life.
A longer one. They don't start to squeak on their bearings after 500,000 years.
You gloat?
No. I keep thinking of a few 100 million people on a spaceship the size of a world, and then I think of all the things that can go wrong with a ship. I don't gloat. I tremble with fear and rage. She stood up and stomped across the room to ease the cramp in her muscles. It had been a long session, a subterranean travelogue of disk machinery, the earthquake machines stuck in her memory. All that ingenuity to reproduce what any half-sized world did naturally. And the demons? Well, at least she'd put a stop to the demons. There was a click as Marco undid his straps and leapt towards the horseshoe panel. He peered at the screen, then glared out of the cabin.
Where the hell is it? It's gone off the screen. What was it, Ken? The blip was bigger than a...
Whoomp! Beyond the windows, the sea shore exploded into a sandstorm. Marco craned his head and looked up. Darkness filled the cabin as the sun was eclipsed. Whoomp! Marco looked up at talons dropping out of the sky when the impossible bird stooped. Talons big enough to grip a ship. He made a small noise in his throat and took a dive in the direction of his couch. Whoomp! Scrabble. Whoomp! 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 The ship creaked as the claws took it gently. Then it bounded upward in a series of bone-shaking jerks. The dome of the hub swung crazily below and whirled away. The disk dropped after it, teetering across the sky until it was a blue and ochre wall. It paused there, then plunged back under the ship to loom for a moment on the other side. Whoomp! Kin concentrated on the view above to take her mind off the lurching, jerking universe. The talons all but covered the roof port, but she got occasional glimpses of the huge white wings, beating now with the slow rhythm of a tide. Sound filled the cabin. It began in the painful ultrasonic, swooping down the scale like wet fingers being dragged across the windows of the soul. High above the disk, the rock stood on the air and sang. There would be no more demons. She could see why there had been demons. Demons were an idea that worked. But there would be no more. The ones Kin had met had been almost human compared with some of the things force-bred in the quiet green laboratories under the hub. They policed the disk, haunted the hidden air vents and access shafts to the machinery, chased the venturesome from the rim. Occasionally they kidnapped a new chairman for the committee. The chairman. Kin stared at the blank screen, then glanced up at the hovering direct link helmet over the chair. She had no intention of trying it for size, and the computers hadn't pressed her, but they had shown her how it was used. The computers ran the disk. They adjusted its tides, circulated its waters, counted its falling sparrows, toiled and spun for the lilies of its fields. But the disk's builders had constructed them as servile mechanisms, lest the disk become too mechanical. A human had to tell them what to do. In the 70,000 years of the disk's history, there had been 280 chairmen, thrust in terror under the helmet.
It gave them cold new knowledge.